Open your Bibles, please, now to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. I'll be preaching today from verse 18 here. Let's hear God's word. Hear, my children. So, children, pay attention. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. And here is our verse. But the path of the just is like the shining light that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. May God bless this word to us today. Now, children and adults, in my Bible reading this week, and I use an adapted McChain's Bible reading calendar, I've been reading in Proverbs, and in much of the week, Galatians. I've just begun with Ephesians. And I'm up to Proverbs chapter 9 today. But earlier in the week, I was in chapter 4, just doing my Bible reading, when this verse here, verse 18, kind of jumped out at me. Now, you who are Christians and have been for a long time know how this can happen. Just today, someone was talking to me about something that was in the book of Proverbs, who's using the same Bible reading calendar, and was saying something about yesterday's reading in chapter 8, and how it is that wisdom is being spoken of there, but it sounds almost like Solomon, or whoever wrote this, is talking about Jesus. And I said, yes, that's what most commentators think. That yes, all this is about God's wisdom, but it's particularly speaking about Jesus Christ there in chapter 8. Well, that's amazing. I don't know how many times I've read that, but I've never noticed that before. And I said to this fellow believer, well, isn't it wonderful how God continues to bring out new things from us from the Word? And that's what happened to me in a way just this week. As I was going through just my normal Bible reading, verse 18 of chapter 4 here just kind of jumped out at me. I'd never given it a lot of thought, but God really placed it upon my heart to be preaching this afternoon or this evening. We just finished a chapter in John's Gospel, so it would be a good time to do just this just now. So, feeling very strongly, God wanted me to preach from it. I wrote up the sermon, and here we have it. And we look at this verse here. The path of the just is like the shining light that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Now, you who are with me using the New King James Bible are maybe thinking, Phil, you've twice read that wrong now. It says sun there, not light. But in my Bible, my New King James, and maybe yours, there's a little number one there for a note. And it says over in my notes, in the cross references and everything, for verse 18, number one, it's lit, period, light. That means literally light. The Hebrew says light, not sun. And I'm at a loss to explain why our translators put the word sun there, because it does not say sun in the Hebrew. It says what I said. It says light. The path of the justice is the shining light that shineth, well, now I'm going into Old King James here, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. I want us to look at three things today. The path itself, the shining light, and the perfect day. Now, I am thankful to say that I had a good time, a blessed time, doing a lot of meditating and praying on this. I hope you always pray for me that I would be bringing out on the coming Sabbath what you should have from God's Word. Do you do so? If you don't, please do. I'm not going to be any good to you. I'm not going to be any good to you unless God works in your heart. And if you think my prayer, my preaching has not been up to its normal degree of usefulness, if it has been useful, could it be that it's because you're not praying for me? I don't know. Or have you found it especially useful of late? Could it be because you have been praying more for me? Well, in any case, I got a lot of benefit from this verse this week. I've been praying that you will too. I don't know that I'm adequate to bring out everything here. There were times when I was meditating and thinking upon this, I just didn't quite have words to put together about some of the wonderful things here. And I'm wondering if I've got this organized all that well. But whether it's great oratory or not, and the logical progression is splendid or not, well, that doesn't matter. What matters is God putting something good in your heart. So if you haven't done so, quickly pray that He might. Solomon or whoever here compares the Christian life to a pathway. One that is very different from the way of the wicked in verse 19. And actually, as we read here in the context, Solomon is talking quite a bit about the pathway of the wicked. You can see that starting in verse 14, actually. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they, that is the wicked, do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. And we go down to verse 19. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Now, there are many paths like that, but we're told to stay away from them. And I don't know how Solomon could have been any stronger than he is. Don't go there. But, in contrast to all that, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth ever brighter unto the perfect day. So the Christian life is like a pathway. Do you children know what a pathway is like, by the way? Do you know what a path is? I don't know if you've ever gone hiking, gone for a walk in the woods, but there's a trail you can follow. You children who live in the woods, some of you do. You know, you have trailways and pathways that you go on to get down to the valley, you know, to get over to look after some of your livestock and all. All right, you have pathways. You have little ways. If you live in town, you know, you've got sidewalks or something of the sort. It's very different from the way of the wicked. By the way, this imagery here of the Christian life being a pathway is one that has been borrowed by others. Many of you know how much I love the book The Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. And John Bunyan, the one who wrote that book, picked up on this imagery. And of course, the Christian life in his book is a roadway or a pathway. It is a way from the city of destruction. It goes on through the wicket gate, past the cross and past many other things, till finally it gets to the celestial city. The first thing I want us to notice is that, as Solomon says, it is the pathway of the just. And do you children know what we mean by the pathway of the just? Do you know who we mean when we talk about people being just? It means that they are not guilty of breaking God's law. They are not guilty. They are innocent of breaking God's law. Children, have you sinned before? How can you get on this pathway then? Because you are not just, you are guilty. Wow. This is the path of the just. How can it have anything to do with us? How can we be on such a path? After all, even you children are great sinners. You disobey, every time you disobey your parents, every time you argue with them, you are mean to your brothers or sisters. Anytime you do anything like that, you are not only sinning against your parents, sinning against your brothers and sisters, you are sinning against God. You are not just. You're a guilty, dirty sinner. How can you get on this path then? I guess you must be on the path that goes to crying. The path that goes to hurting. The path that goes to God being angry at you. That's the end. Ah, no. No, it isn't, thankfully. How can we be on such a path? Because God has made a way. Do you remember I just said that in the book The Pilgrim's Progress, the main guy, the main character, Christian, goes through the wicket gate. And the load of sin that he has is taken off. It falls off when he goes past the cross. Here is how we can be on the path. God is able to declare us just, that is to justify us, and be just himself. How can he do this? These things seem impossible. Well, it's what we read about when Paul speaks in Romans chapter 3, verse 26. Well, let me back up and begin reading at verse 21, all the way down to verse 26. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Children and adults, here's how it is. Jesus came to save people, to rescue people from their sin. He never, ever sinned. He was just. It is only the wicked, the guilty, who must die. So why did Jesus die on the cross? If he were just, and he was. Even Pontius Pilate's wife said to Pontius Pilate, when Jesus was being judged there by that Roman governor, "Have nothing to do with this just man." Yet he was put to death on the cross by God's design, and he was willing to do so. Why did Jesus die if he had no sin? He did it because he loved his people and died in their place. I've explained it before to you children in this way. Suppose you have an older brother, and a few of you kids do, and you did some very, very wicked thing, some horrible thing, and you're going to have to be punished terribly by your parents. But your older brother goes to your dad and says, "Don't punish my younger brother. Don't punish my little sister. Punish me instead. I'll take it." And your dad doesn't punish you, but he whips into your big brother something terrible. He took it in your place, right? Do you understand that in my story? He took it in your place. This is what Jesus does. We deserve God's anger because of our sin. We deserve God's punishment because of our sin. How can God consider us just? How can God say everything's okay and still be just himself? It is exactly this. Jesus takes it for us. He is just that he died for the unjust. We go on to read Paul speaking in another place, not now to the people in Rome, but to the people in Corinth, in his second letter to them, in chapter 5. God made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, children, to be sin for us. That is, he stood in our place, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So, it is only by Jesus that we are just. He puts us on the path. In fact, he is the path. It is by him and by him alone that we are right with God. He is the path. He is the way. That is what he said the night that he was betrayed, there in the upper room. And we looked at that during one of our expositions of John's Gospel. In John chapter 14, speaking to his disciples in the upper room, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." He is the path of the just. He is the only way to be with and to know God. This is how you get on the path of the just, by having life made new in Jesus. It is he who ends up taking you to the perfect day which is to come. Well, just like Christian came onto the path by going through the wicket gate, if you want to be on the path of the just, which is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. If you want to be on that path, you must come by Jesus, for He is the only way to enter in. Children, have you done that? Adults, have you done that? That is the only way to be on the path of the just, is to come through Jesus, to ask Him in prayer, to have mercy upon you for your sin, to ask Him in prayer to save you from your sin. That is the only way. Enter onto this path then through Jesus. Cry out to Jesus to save you from your sin. And you'll find that you're on the path of the just. Well, what is this path of the just like? Well, the Holy Spirit, through Solomon, tells us the path of the just is like the shining light. From the beginning, it is like a shining light. Now, that's different from every other pathway. What did we read about? We see here that in verse 19, it's like darkness. And they do not know what makes them stumble. Children, have you ever had to get up in the dark at night? And you walk into something that you forgot was there? You're walking along slowly because you can't see very well, and somebody moved a chair in the dining room, and boom, wham, you fall right over it. You make a terrible noise, and your parents yell, "What are you doing up?" Okay. Well, that, and maybe, you know, if you really fall badly, you smash in your nose, you break off some teeth, ow. You break an arm, ow. That's what it's like if you go on any other path. People will try to tell you that it is really the bright way. It is really the right way. It is the way that all the cool people are going. But it's a path that goes on into darkness, and before you know it, something will happen to you that you did not expect. You will fall into something you weren't even looking for. But the path of the just is like to the shining light, or is as the shining light. From the beginning, it's that way. The path must be that way. Why? Because it is made by Him who says that He is the light of the world. Again, that's in John's Gospel. We see that in John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not," and we could even supply the word "ever," "shall not ever walk in darkness, but have the light of life." It is a shining path from the very start. Now, we read in John's Gospel again in chapter 1, verse 14, that He is the Word become flesh. Okay? Now, He who is the Word become flesh has given us the Word written. Do you children know what the written Word is? What God's Word is? It's this. Look up here. The Bible. This is God's Word. The Word of God written down. As we just sang about a few minutes ago in Psalm 25, and as we will be singing in the portion of Psalm 119, His Word is the lamp to our feet, and it's the light to our path. It teaches us, quoting our shorter catechism here, what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God commands of us. This lights the path. As we know Jesus, we know His Word. And as we get to know His Word better and better, the path begins to shine more and more. Okay, that's what our verse is, as a matter of fact, right? The path of the justice is the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. It tells us what is right and wrong, so we don't go off to the left hand or to the right, as Solomon said in verse 27, not to do. It tells us what is wrong. It tells us what's true and what's false. It tells us what's good and what's evil. Now, there are many, many other pathways. And there are other voices that may try to tell you to go on with what is reasonable. They'll tell you to go with your feelings. They'll tell you if it feels good, do it. If there's money in it, do it. If it's cool, do it. But all these are the way of the wicked. They lead off to danger, to darkness, and to death. Just like foolish Christian and hopeful, when they went off into Bypath Meadow, got found by giant despair, got locked up for a while in Doubting Castle, and were hurt pretty badly before finally, it was kind of like a V8 commercial. Christian goes, "Ah, I've got in my pocket the key of the promises that I'm persuaded will unlock every door in this castle, every single door in this dungeon." Sure it did. Sure it did. But better to stay out of there in the first place. And sadly, horrifyingly, Christian and Hopeful saw the bones, saw the skeletons of many who never escaped the giant despair nor his doubting castle. Do not turn to the left hand or the right, or to the right. Do not go off where others say. Stick to this path. Because here is light and here is life. This is the right way to go. Live in Jesus. Now, it shineth more and more, we read. I'm quoting here from Old King James. That's where I do all my memory work. This is significant, friends, in that we gain more and more in our knowledge. We gain more and more in our understanding. We gain more and more in our holiness. Are you in Jesus Christ? Are you in Jesus Christ? Are you on this path by God's grace? Well, then there's something I know about you. Well, there are several somethings I know about you, but here's one of them. You still have sin in your life. Here's something else I know about you. It makes you cry sometimes. You hate it. And if I had up here some sort of magic button that you could come up and push and instantly you would be made morally perfect, you'd be running up here. If Jesus should suddenly appear in our midst, he will not do this until he comes back someday, of course, children, but if Jesus were to come here right now, believer, if he said to you, standing before you, "What do you want me to do for you?" would you not say, in broken tones, with tears streaming down your eyes, "Jesus, perfect me. Jesus, make me holy." Is that not it? Don't I have you pegged? Don't I have you nailed? Of course I do. Because you and I, you brother, you sister, you're just like me in this. We want to be holy. We're not there yet, but we wish we were. We want to be holy. And sometimes, you know, we're not watching out. We get cocky or something. I don't know what it is. We get foolish and we don't watch where we're going. And we fall into a mud puddle.
and we hate it. We know our Father has loved us so much and how we treat Him. We know our Savior has loved us and how we treat Him. And we're so ashamed of ourselves and we think, oh, how can God continue to love me? Well, let me give you something here, friends. It does not say here in our text that it shines less and less. And you've got to figure it out on your own. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. In your moments when you're convicted of your sin, in your moments when all you can see is your wickedness, in your moments when you're so ashamed of yourself, you may think it's just no good. It's just no good. I'm a drag to the kingdom and such, but that's not the case. As a matter of fact, by God's grace, you are already more holy than you had been. You're not more justified. You're not more just in the eyes of your Father, but you are more holy than when you first came to Christ. By His grace, you've been enabled to walk along that pathway some. May not be as fast or as far as you'd like. It may not be as fast or as far as in some ways you should be. But it is farther along than you might think in your despairing moments. Defeat is not something that shall characterize you. No, by no means. We sometimes sing from Psalm 84. And what the psalmist says there is certainly true. That you are and shall be advancing still from strength to strength. You are going and shall go where others have trod. And at length, you too will make it to Zion. But it's not just there in the Psalms, and it's not just there in the Old Testament. I'd have us again look at 2 Corinthians. This time in chapter 3 instead of chapter 5. In verse 18. But we all believers, not just the super believers or something of the sort, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. What an encouragement is here for you, brother. What an encouragement is here for you, sister. You who struggle with temptation, and with grief and shame, you have to say sometimes you yield to it. Again, God's not going to turn down the light. Your way shall not be dimmer and dimmer, but shining more and more, you shall have the victory. You shall be holy. Will you allow me to take a little time to go back to the book, The Prophecy of Isaiah? Maybe you should turn with me. Isaiah 35. Go forward from Proverbs to Isaiah chapter 35. I'm going to read this entire chapter. It's a short one. It's only 10 verses. And it's the last three, verses 8, 9, and 10, I especially want to concentrate your looking at. God says through Isaiah, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, meaning God's people, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Now verses 8 through 10, as we think about the path of the just, a highway should be there. We've gone to maybe a little trail through the woods, the four lanes. A highway should be there, and a road, and it should be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, and is that you? Are you in Jesus? Then you do walk the road. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, and maybe you've thought yourself that way when you yield to temptation, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go upon it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. With everlasting joy in their heads, they shall attain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That leads us to consider the perfect day then. Where does the highway end? And where does this journey for you end? Where and when? When it comes to the perfect day that Isaiah was looking forward to. Bunyan portrayed it in Pilgrim's Progress as a river. Well, no. The way led on through the river of death to the celestial city. That is the perfect day. The pathway, the highway, goes all the way there. And if you are on the pathway of the just, that pathway which is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day, then you shall come there. What lies ahead for you? Well, what Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians 15, I'm not going to read that. That's a long chapter. You can this evening. 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. That is what lies ahead for you. What lies ahead is, a couple of verses that I have in the book of Revelation. Perhaps you can look there with me in chapter 21. The path of the justice is the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Listen to this description of the perfect day, beginning in verse 22. But I saw no temple in it, that is, the New Jerusalem, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it. Is there no light then? No, that's not the case. For the glory of the Lord illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Ah, that's a perfect day. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. There shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Or let's look over to the very next page. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, beginning here in verse 1, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there should be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb should be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. That is the perfect day. Now, we cannot imagine it yet. It's not come into our hearts, let alone our heads, to be able to imagine how wonderful that shall be. But if by God's grace you have entered onto the path of the just, that is where you shall end up. That is the promise for you, Christian. And so to borrow the words of Isaiah now, fear not, he will save you. Fear not, this pathway, this highway is one upon which you are safe. The promise to you, believer, though it may take you through difficulties, Christian had to go through the valley of the shadow of death. Christian had to go through the town of vanity and its fair. Christian had to contend with the flatterer. Christian had to go over the river. But through it all, by the means of the word guiding it, he was brought safely to the celestial city. You may have affliction of one sort or another. Several of you have health problems. There are those who are afflicted all their lives with illness or the consequences of it. We've been praying, for example, for Noah Shaw. That little boy, all his life, will only have at most one eye. We may have other problems. People lying about us. Financial reverses, bereavement, you know, those whom we love, they must die, and we ourselves must come to the river someday. But in all, we shall be able to say, when we have attained, not if, when, we have attained to the celestial city, all along my God kept me. All along my Jesus was my pathway and my shining light, and he has led me safely here. Forever and ever I shall say glory to him. That is what it shall end up. Even now, friends, take heart, press on. Your pathway is as the shining light, and it shineth more and more until, and never short of it, that perfect day. Amen.